coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is Pastor Mike, and I'm online. I am live with you today. I was going to talk about what I had started on last Tuesday. And as a matter of fact, let's see if I have that still pulled up. Yeah, I do. Let me put this on the screen. There was a film that came out, I'm assuming this year. You don't see them in the theaters anymore. I don't know if people go to theaters now or not. They just release them and you can stream them and whatever. I'll go ahead and put it on the screen. It was called Tenet. And it was, I won't tell the movie and sort of explain what it is, but it was a Christopher Nolan film, and there are a lot of things in it that, as I'm watching it, I realize that he is getting his ideas for his films from, he either is a very deep student of occult knowledge, occult philosophies, and so on, or he's being inspired by devils. And the movie Interstellar, the movie Inception, he is the writer of Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, and The Dark Knight Rises. There's loads. I haven't seen, I've seen Batman Begins, and I know there's a lot of symbolism there. I haven't seen all of The Dark Knight. I have not seen The Dark Knight Rises at all. I've not watched it. I have it. I just have not watched it. But the three films that I referenced last week, the things that are in it and the concepts that are in it tell me that this guy knows some things that are very, very deep, prophetically related ideas. In other words, I can see clearly that the themes and the ideas that he is projecting and promoting in these films, I can point you to the exact scripture and say, this is what he's referring to. The gestures of this guy's hands, putting them together like this, and he talks about it'll open the right doors, but some of the wrong ones as well. Well, and I know what he's talking about in the movie, but I also know what he's talking about as far as Bible prophecy is concerned. And so one of our watchers sent me something that verified what I suspected, that Christopher Nolan more than likely studies things related to the occult, because the antagonist in this movie, in other words, the bad guy in this movie, is a man by the name of Sator. And I noticed also in the movie that there is a company called Rotas, Rotas. There is what's called a Sator Square, and this goes back thousands of years. And it is some sort of magic or divination device. And I want you to look here, and again, I'm not going to talk about this today. And I'll tell you why in a little bit. The word Sator, Sator is the antagonist of the movie. Arepo is someone mentioned in the movie. Tenet is the name of the movie. The word opera is a significant word in this movie. And of course, Rotas is the name of a company owned by the man Sator. And if you look at this device, not only do the words, what do they call them? Palindromes, where the word can be read frontwards and backwards, and it's the same word. Sator, Rotas, Arapo. So you notice that here you have Rotas, Opera, Tenet, Arepo, and Sator. Now, this particular divination magical device thingy, I wasn't aware of last week until one of our watchers, Josh, sent me this, and I went, duh, that's everything that's in this movie. But I'm going to hold off on that. And the reason why is today is not a good day. I have days that, and I don't know if they're increasing on me, but I have days where I am under a tremendous amount of stress, a tremendous amount of, I hate to use the word discouragement, but that's part of it. A lot of pressure. The word pressure and depressed and stress, distressed. These are words that pretty much fit where I am today. And there's sometimes they don't have a cause to them. Some days I'm just down, depressed, with a little anxiety to go with it. And there's really no real reason for it. That isn't necessarily the case today. There are some things that are bothering me and have been bothering me for quite a long time. I wouldn't say quite. I don't want you to think it's been going on for a year or 2 years or whatever. But I'm down. And so for me to talk about something like portals opening up or whatever, it's just not something that I really care to talk about today. The best thing that I can do on days like this, and they happen to me, and I am just 100% guaranteed that they happen to you as well. When they happen to you, probably most of you don't have a online video schedule that you follow. Of course, you know mine. Mine is Sunday school, Sunday morning sermon, Sunday afternoon Bible study, Wednesday night Bible study, Pastor Mike online Tuesdays and Thursdays, and a Watchman video broadcast. And so when I am not my perky, happy, go lucky, everything's fine kind of guy, when those days happen upon a day when I have to be streaming or broadcasting or recording something, I've got choices. I can either try to pretend like there's nothing wrong and go about business as usual. Sometimes that does work. I can handle that. Or I can choose not, like today, I could choose not to have a live broadcast today. If it happens on a Sunday morning, I don't think I've ever said on a Sunday morning, I'm not myself today. I'm very depressed. I'm not going to preach today. I don't think I've ever done that. But I usually try to be honest with people about myself and about my weaknesses, and not so much boast on any strengths that I have. There are some things that I'm good at, but when it comes to pressure, when it comes to stress, when it comes to things that are bothering me, when it comes to inner pain that I feel, my remedy for that is sometimes if I just get some rest, a day of rest, you know, and literally sleeping, resting, things like that, that does help. But the best thing that I can do is spend time in the Word of God. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to do that today and stream it live. In other words, I'm going to let God help me today in public view, in the view of people who are watching, so that you might benefit then from how God helps me. I mentioned this in Sunday school, that we are comforted. One of the reasons why we have tribulation is that God will take us through things, and then He will comfort us. I'm looking at the word comfort in the Scriptures. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So what I'm dealing with today, and all of the burdens, all the cares, all the worries, all the personal pain that I'm feeling, yeah, I can get my feelings hurt. I'm going to share my medicine with everybody else, so that if you also happen to be today going through things, or are stressed or oppressed or depressed or whatever, you might also benefit from what I'm going through. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, blessed be, in verse 3, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The two things that I need today are mercy, which I am glad that I serve a God who is abundant in mercy. And the Bible says He delights in mercy. Some people have the idea of God that He delights in judging and killing people, but He doesn't. Ezekiel 33, in the chapter related to the watchman and who He sets up to be a watchman, God stresses the idea, I get no pleasure in the death of the wicked. After all, they are God's creation. For God to have to destroy His own creation would be like, you know, some of these guys, older generation, they like to take old cars and fix them up. I saw a Volkswagen, had to have been from the 60s, it looked like, on the back of a trailer headed somewhere. Some guy was going to try to restore that old Volkswagen and polish it up and make it run and take it to car shows. It would be like some, and my dad used to do this. He had a 1966 Chevy pickup truck, I think. And he fixed that thing up and took it to car shows. So it'd be like a guy who spent days and months and years fixing up an old car and making it look beautiful again and then destroying it right then and there. Okay? That's what that would be like. So I'm glad I have a merciful God. I'm glad I have a God who is plenteous in mercy and plenteous in comfort. And so he says, who in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 1, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So I figured if I'm having a day where I need comfort and I need mercy from God, then maybe somebody else out there might benefit from how God is going to benefit me. See, I'm already saying that I know for a fact that God is going to help me today because it's what I believe. I believe that much in the power and the strength of the Word of God that what God shows me from His Word, He's going to help me. He's going to bless me. He's going to give me understanding. He's going to help me out of how I feel today. A lot of times I go to the Psalms. I'm in Psalm 4. Turn your Bible. I'm not going to put up anything on the screen today. I want you to open your Bible up. Read along with me. Psalm 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. The word stress is in the word distress. And for whatever reason it is, stress of job, the stress of worrying about people that you care about right now because of the virus that's going around, the China virus, when some people get it, their family members worry whether or not they're going to live through it. We've had one death in this church already, and we have another man in this church, Brother Sterling, my father-in-law, who is still suffering the results of this China virus. It literally turned two-thirds of his lungs into almost like glass. The alveoli, or however you pronounce that, the little bubbles in his lungs that exchange oxygen, they just almost turned into glass, and they don't work. They simply don't work. As long as he gets a lot of oxygen pumped into his lungs from a machine, he does okay. But for him to get up and simply walk downstairs to his garage, he wears a pulse oxygen meter, and when he's sitting down, his oxygen level will be in the 90s, and he'll get up. He got up yesterday, walked downstairs, came back up, and it was down in 71. It's been down in the 40s before. That's frustrating for him. Because that man wants to get up and he wants to do things. He doesn't want to just sit around. So it could be any kind of distress that you're in. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. And one of the key parts of this verse is you understand that the basis of your prayer and you being able to go to God in prayer is not because you've been doing good. If you ever think that God hears people better than he does other people on the basis of they've been better than somebody else has. Or let's say you've thought that God answers and hears your prayers because you live a better life than other people live. You're a liar. You're lying to yourself and you're lying to God. You have absolutely no personal righteousness. You see, years ago, in 1996, I went through one of the hardest, most difficult times ever in my life. And I was reading things out of the Bible that I needed God to do, but my mind was telling me, and the devil was telling me, God's not going to do those for you because, see, it says, he said he does it for the righteous. Well, Mike, that's not you. So I would read these promises and I'm going, what good is it doing me to even read the Bible when it's not written to me because I don't do righteous things? Then God made me understand that, Mike, it's not your righteousness that I'd use, that I depend on. It's the righteousness of Christ. And if you're covered and robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, then every one of those promises apply to you. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Therefore he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living water. He brings forth his fruit in his season. I paraphrase that last part because I can't remember it. But I know for a fact that I don't sit around and think of the Bible not 100% of the time. I don't do that. But I know the one who does. It's Jesus Christ. He qualifies for the blessings that are in Psalm 1. And if I'm in Christ, then I also am a recipient of those blessings. And that's what he says here. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Because if God listened to prayers on the basis of how good we were, he would never hear anybody's prayer, ever. So don't ever think that God hears somebody's prayers better than yours because they live a better life or a more holy life or a sin-free life, because they don't. That's not the basis upon which God hears our prayers. He hears our prayers on the basis of God being our righteousness. That's what Martin Luther figured out one day. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. And this is what God does. When I go back in my mind and I remember all the things that I prayed for and God answered them, either how I prayed for them or how he answered them better than how I prayed for them, I am absolutely stunned and amazed. But God has answered prayers that I only prayed one time, God's answered. Tremendously, God's answered. I asked God one time to show me if there was any kind of code in the King James Bible. I asked God that one time, And within a year, God had given me the material to write the first book I wrote by divine order. He had shown me all those numerical codes in the King James, and I had prayed it one time. Verse 2 of chapter Psalm 4, O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah means think about that. It's a pause intended for you to think about that. Verse 3, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. And if there's anything that I can see God doing in me right now, here lately, is God is helping me to remember to pray more often. Because having a consistent prayer life is not something that I personally know about myself. And I want to be able to pray more. I just don't think about it. And I've asked God to help me change how I think and what goes through my mind during the day and to remember to pray more than I used to. And when I do pray, I believe that God will hear me when I call unto him. And let me tell you something. A lot of people, both here at Bethel locally and across the world, they write me emails, they'll make phone calls, they'll send messages. Most, and I'm being honest with you, most of those emails, phone calls, and messages, I cannot get to. I can't even take them because there's just not enough time in the day. When I tell you that I work from the time I get up in the morning, and I come here, I spend my time getting ready for the next thing I'm doing, and then when I go home, that's what I do at home. I'm doing something to prepare for the things that are coming up this week. And it's like that almost every day. That's why I set aside Friday as Sweetie Pie Day. I don't want to neglect my wife. I want to give her that day. If I get a chance to answer some emails, I try to answer them. If I get a chance to take a few phone calls, I love talking to people on the phone. I like to visit with them. Sometimes they listen to me, and that helps me. But who do I have to talk to? And I'm not complaining to anybody. I'm just saying, do you know who I talk to about my problems? God. I tell God every one of my problems. He already knows them. But I make my complaints to him. I tell him about how I feel. I tell him about why I'm angry or upset or depressed. I tell him why I might be mad at somebody. I tell God what sins I commit. I tell God everything. And he's not just my imaginary friend that makes me feel good to get it out. He's actually there listening to me when I pray or when I talk. Sometimes if I'm in the car alone or if I'm by myself, I just talk to him out loud like he's here. And there's nothing in the world like that. So, if I can't answer your email, if I can't take your phone call, if I can't sit down with you for a couple hours and just hear you out. I feel awful about that. That's part of what's weighing on me today. Is I don't have the time to give to everybody that I care about the time for me to listen to them. But I would like to share with you, in the absence of you being able to talk to me and ask me questions, I know somebody who's never too busy to talk to you. I have somebody that I can tell you can go to every time, and he'll always hear every word you say, and he's always got good advice for you too. His name is Jesus Christ. And again, he's not some imaginary friend that once you've talked to, it just goes out into thin air and you don't get any help. He'll actually direct you and guide you in the scriptures to show you the answers that you need. He may not be able to do it. He may not do it right then and there because it may not be time for him to do it yet. But when it's time, he'll do it. Verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. And I like this one. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. I like that verse because that's the verse that I think tells me that I can pray when I go to bed at night. And I can pray and fall asleep and God's not mad at me. Right? Because I know some of you have told me this. Because I used to pray at night while I'm in bed and find myself going to sleep and then wake up and say, God, I'm sorry I fell asleep while I was praying. God, I'm sorry. I don't think God gets angry about that. I really don't. I think I would rather be talking to God and have my thoughts on God as I'm going to sleep than any other thing in the world that could be going through my mind while I'm trying to go to sleep. Right? And that's what he said. Stand in awe and sin not, and commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Best thing in the world, the best way to end your day is to end your day talking to God. Because he knows you're tired and he knows you're going to go to sleep. And it doesn't bother him. Verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Now, the TV preachers would say, that means you send us a check for $5,000. That's you offering your sacrifices unto the Lord. Okay? I tend to think offer the sacrifices of righteousness basically means to put away anything in your life that isn't right and let God burn it up. That way, you can put your trust in the Lord and trust him. And it's a big, and I can tell you, there's been times, so many times in my life, when I've struggled with trusting the Lord because I was afraid. I was afraid that things wouldn't turn out the way I wanted it to turn out. And God's had to take me through situations in life where he forced me to trust him because I had no other choice but to trust him. It's like in Ezekiel 14, not Ezekiel, in Exodus 14. When God took the Israelites and he led them, he told them that, you know, if you look at a map, the easiest way to get to Jerusalem from the land of Goshen is just to go east by northeast. And then you're there. But that's not how God told them to go. I mean, they could have been there literally in a matter of weeks. They could have been there. And it would have been over with. But God told them in Exodus 14 to turn. To go down to Pi-hahiroth. And camp out in this place that on the map, it's the only place they could have ever camped out. That many people. Over 600,000, maybe 800,000 total people there. Camped out. And then God hardened Pharaoh's heart, pulled Pharaoh over, and cut and basically blocked their exit. So they got the Red Sea on one side, and they got Pharaoh wanting to kill him on the other side. God's holding Pharaoh back with the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And Israel's like, yeah, that's a fine predicament you got me into, God. You got us here stuck. What did you do? Drag us all the way out here so you could kill us? And I'll be honest with you. There's been times, it's been a long time since I've thought this, but there's been times when I thought, God, why did you bring me to this point only to destroy me? Only to have me killed? Only to have me whatever? God, why? But God didn't do that. That wasn't God's plan at all. But what God was going to do with Israel was make the situation for them so impossible that they didn't have a choice except to trust God. And whatever situation you might be in right now, if you can't think of a solution out of it, there's probably a reason why. It's probably because God has brought you into a situation where he led you into a trap so that you would understand that you are going to trust God or you're going to die. And I've been in those situations where God said, Mike, I'm going to make you trust me. And there's no way out for you. I'm going to force you to trust me. And he did. So verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Verse 6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. The light of God's countenance, if you remember when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the light of his countenance shone so bright that they couldn't stand to look at his face. And you remember what Paul said about that? Paul said that the symbolism of that is that every time the Jews read the Old Testament, there's a veil over it because they can't really see it for what it is. So the light of God's countenance is another way of saying God's word. Lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. In other words, God, open up the Bible and show us the way that you are so that we will understand what you're doing in our life right now. And all the answers to all the problems that you can have, every one of them are going to come from the Word of God. Verse 7, thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time of their corn and their wine increased. God, today, God, I need God to put gladness in my heart. Because it's been a while since I've been happy and glad about things. And mind you, our church, God has allowed our church to do absolutely incredible things. Feeding the hungry people in Turkana, rescuing the orphans, running the radio stations, having pastors walk away from the false prophet, Dr. Awar in Kenya, and say, we're just going to follow the Bible. We're not going to follow that guy. That guy's wrong. I can see it now. That guy's wrong. Pastor Hoggart is right. The Mzungu's right. Michael told me that there are people who come to the radio station in Turkana and to the office, and I've seen it. I've seen what he's talking about, because they have like a TV screen up on the wall, and they're always playing one of my videos. When you come in the office there, they're playing one of the videos. And they will walk there just so they can see what the Mzungu looks like. They just want to see me. They hear my voice. They want to see what I look like. Now, I love all that. And I guess in that, I should be glad and I should be happy. But it's been a while since God has put gladness in my heart. And maybe that's my fault. Maybe I'm just not appreciative enough of the things that God has done in me, to me, with me, and through me. Maybe I'm letting the problems, the depression, the stress, the worry, people accusing me of things, maybe I'm letting that get to me when I could just be happy that some people are going to bed tonight with food in their bellies. See, what I'm doing is I'm working through me, and I'm doing it in front of you to help you as you go through things that are going on in your life. And if God's going to tell me that I'm doing something wrong or I'm thinking something wrong, you're going to hear it live. You're going to hear it live. Because I want you to know that I'm nobody extraordinary. I'm the same, just the same as you are. By the way, when it comes to our radio station, one of the things that we've talked about in Turkana is getting a shipping container and having that as a place where instead of us sending motorcycles out with bundles of food, we could have a central location where we would have the food there. People could walk there and get the food that they need, and so on and so on. And we're actively looking into that scenario right now. And there's some more I could say about it, but it would benefit us in many multiple ways if we were able to do that. And I'm not going to say it right now what that would be, because that might jeopardize some things, and I don't want to do that. But if we were able to do that, it would be a very, very great blessing. for our ministry in Turkana, Kenya. So help us pray about that. Verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And that's what I want. I want to be able to lay down at night and have peace in my heart that God has heard me, that God cares about me. God's going to do what is right in God's eyes, but it will always be a blessing to me. Psalm 18. This is another verse that has the word stress in it. It's another psalm where he talks about being distressed. If we start out in verse 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. And I cannot do what I want to do in this ministry, what I think God has called me to do in this ministry. I can't do it in the power of my flesh. Guaranteed I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it today. I would have simply sent out a note saying, something's come up. I can't do a PMO today. Sorry. But I thought it might be better for you. And so far, it's helped me already. But the Lord is my strength, not me, my strength. My strength is nothing. All my strength is weakness in a lot of ways. He says in verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. These are all military words. These are all things that relate to the battle that you and I have on certain days, or maybe on certain every days. We have this battle. It's either going to be stress, it's either going to be depression, it's either going to be the hatred of others, or it's going to be sin. No matter what it is, God has a fortress for you to live in, and that fortress is Him. If you look at Psalm 91, beautiful, beautiful psalm. One of my favorites. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Means God's going to hide you and cover you so that when the enemy starts looking, where's Mike Hoggard at? Well, he doesn't see him. Can't find him. Why? God has him hidden so the devil can't get to him. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. And I'm going to say it because I had a guy make a video against me over this verse, because it says, He shall cover thee with His feathers and under His wings. And I said, does that mean that God has feathers and wings? And I said, of course it does. It means that God has feathers and wings. And of course, some people just blew up. Oh my goodness, he's a heretic. He said God has feathers and wings. We know that God doesn't have feathers and wings. And I'm going, wait a minute, isn't there a Holy Spirit? Didn't the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus in the form of a dove with feathers and wings? Isn't the Holy Spirit God? So, you can believe whatever you want to believe about the Bible. But I like it better if I can look at the Bible, and when it says that God will protect me with his feathers and wings, I like it when I can 100% believe that God meant exactly what he said and actually have evidence to back it up. Well, of course God has feathers and wings. He came down and descended on Jesus in the form of a Holy Ghost, in the form of a dove. And that was the Holy Ghost. And there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So I actually like my thinking of the Bible better than yours, because I'm not blaming any of you who agree with me, but your belief of the Bible is God says it, but he doesn't really mean it that way. I like it where God says it and he means it that way. That's how I like the Bible. I like to just believe it, every word of it. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. This is Psalm 91. From the noisome pestilence he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Now, do I get afraid? You better believe I do. So much so sometimes that I'll just be honest with you. I'm not going to hide the fact that I get anxiety attacks. Sometimes out of nowhere, but sometimes they're based on fears that I have. And I never used to be this way. When I was in my 20s and 30s, you couldn't scare me. My teenage years, you just couldn't scare me. I was happy-go-lucky Mike. But the older I get, the more fearful I get, the more depressed I get, the more anxiety I get. When it says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, I absolutely believe, since I believe that God will cover me with his feathers and his wings, I absolutely believe that in the day or in the night, when terror comes and there's an arrow flying at day, that God will not allow me to be afraid. That's what I believe. I mean, Fox's Book of Martyrs, it's an incredible book, because there are stories in there about people being burnt at the stake for believing the Bible instead of the Pope. And one man who was watching a family get burnt at the stake because they put their trust in the scriptures, who was so inspired by that he went up and joined them in the flames. Was he afraid? Doesn't sound like it. Doesn't sound like he was afraid at all. And though I may have fear now, I absolutely believe that when it comes time for certain things that actually come to pass, where the devil is absolutely going to try to kill me or do away with me somehow, some way, I believe that I will not be afraid. That's the way I like believing the Bible. Doesn't that sound better to you? Verse 6 of Psalm 91, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, and all kinds of good things like that. Now we were back in Psalm 18. So let me keep reading Psalm 18. Verse 3. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Let me tell you who my enemies are. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. Pride of life. Those are my enemies. And they reside in me, so that they're never not there. They're always there. Whether it's lust of the eyes one day, lust of the flesh another day, or pride on another day. On days when my flesh isn't lusting after something, I guarantee you, pride steps up and takes over and says, "My, Mike, aren't you something else? Why, you're not lusting after anything in this world, are you? You must be some incredible person. You are the greatest, Mike. God was lucky to get you." That's the enemy I fear the most. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Sorrows of death. Me being afraid of dying. Afraid that it's going to hurt. Afraid of being tortured or maimed in some way and then dying. That happens. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. Verse 6, here's the word stress. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. I am sick up to here with watching the Joel Osteen Inspiration Cube commercial. And then anybody else who follows his doctrine that says that I can't really admit to God that I'm afraid. I can't really admit to God that I'm in terror. I can't really admit to God that I have stress on me, because that's a negative confession. And if I confess something negative to God, God then returns negative things to me. I hate that doctrine so bad. I hate it. It's absolute, pure, evil witchcraft, and it forces people to lie and to believe a lie. I mean, look at that verse. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Not when I was feeling positive about myself. Not when I made a positive affirmation to God. I did it in my distress, when things were lousy, when things were bad, when I couldn't take it anymore. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry, which is a negative confession, my cry came before him, even into his ears. I hate the charismatic word faith, positive confession, that whole group. Can't stand them. I told you the story that Joyce Myers, radio announcer, a guy that I had befriended for a while. I met him because he was a great children's minister, and he and Joyce were ministers together at a church in Fenton, Missouri, which is north of here, not too far. It's in Jefferson County. And we would go out to eat. I invited him to do vacation Bible school at our church. He did a great job. When we had a Christian school, I had him come and do things for our Christian school. He had a wonderful testimony. And he just had a way with kids. And I sat down and had lunch with him one time. I met him. And he said, "Mike, I'm going to tell you something." I said, "What's that?" And he said, "I'm leaving the charismatic movement." And I paused in midair. "Do what?" He said, "Yeah, I'm leaving the charismatic movement. I'm getting out." He was Joyce Myers' radio announcer. He was being paid pretty well to work for Joyce Meyer, to be the guy saying, "And now Joyce has this this teaching offering now for $19.95 plus, you know, $10 shipping and handling. And now here's Joyce." He made good money doing that, plus being a youth minister at his church, children's minister at his church. And he said, "I'm walking out." And I said, "What's going on?" And he told me the story that a friend of his, very good friend of his, somebody who didn't have any position in that church, but boy, they gave lots of money to that church. They were there every time the church doors were open. They did everything in that church that the pastor asked anybody to do. When they had these big name preachers come in, like Rodney Howard Brown or whoever, I mean, this guy was always there. He put them up in, you know, in whatever. He gave large sums of money. I mean, he just did everything. And he had a wife, he had two kids, had a nice house, had a successful business. And so while things were good, he was believing the nonsense that because he was making positive confessions all the time, that God was rewarding him with positive things. And then he came down with some illness. And he kept making positive confessions, and the illness didn't go away. Because the illness didn't go away, it affected his business. He wasn't able to conduct his business, and he started losing money. And because he wasn't able to work, he was going to lose his house. And his wife and kids, his wife wasn't going to put up with that, so she left him. Both because he was sick and because he wasn't rich anymore. So he lost his business, he lost his health, he lost his wife, he lost his kids. He lost everything in this world. And he goes back to the pastor, Rick Shelton. And he says, "You told me that if I give all this money, and if I make these positive confessions, and I do all of these things, that God would return that to me, and I would be healthy and successful and have my, and everything." What happened? And Rick Shelton told him, "Well, obviously, there's something that you're holding back from God." And Joyce Myers, radio announcer guy, my friend who knew the guy, knew that was a lie. He said, Mike, I've never known a more faithful man. And he said, I'm convinced that the whole thing is one big fat lie. And he said, now, I can't talk my wife into it. She wants to stay, but I'm not staying there. And he didn't. He left. I don't know if it caused, I'd lost contact with him. I don't know where he is, what he's doing now. But he said, Mike, it's a big fat lie. So in verse 6 of Psalm 18, it's okay for you to tell God you're in distress. It's okay to tell God the truth about what's going on in your life. It's okay to just have, and I do this when I'm alone, to just talk to God out loud. I do it all the time. Because I know, I mean, I have a good wife and I have good people here at this church. But I can't tell them everything. I can't tell them everything. But I can tell God everything. And I can tell him the truth about everything. And he always hears me. Always. Never turns his back on me. Never is upset because I make a negative confession. I've even been upset with God and told him so. And God didn't strike me down over that. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, and his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, as thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about my enemies. When I went to God with my complaint, and with my distress, and with the fact that I had enemies tearing me up, eating me up. When I went to God with that, you know what he did? He bowed the heavens down and he got angry and he started firing arrows at all of my enemies. God personally came down himself and said, I'll get them for you, Mike. You see, there's some people. And I'm not sure that this is right. They're of the opinions that whenever you have devils attacking you, that you must claim authority in Jesus' name and you must tell them, I dispel thee, thou evil spirit. And you have to name the spirit. I've actually had people say that. You have to identify the spirit that it is, and you have to name them, and you have to order them and command them to leave in Jesus' name. Have you ever heard people like that? I knew a young couple that the husband had a problem because he was making these constant demands of his wife, if you know what I mean by that. His wife, on the other hand, was constantly yelling at him, screaming at him, angry at him, bitter at him all the time. So they went to some preacher, and this preacher and his wife told them, well, you've got a spirit of this on you, and you've got a spirit of that, and we got to name these spirits, and we're going to cast these spirits out. To me, that was them saying that spirits were making them do this as an excuse for their own bad behavior. In other words, if we can just get this spirit of bitterness toward your husband, if we can cast that out, then you won't ever do this ever again. And I think some people do this. I think some people dream up devils that they say make them do these things, and it's just an excuse for their own bad behavior. They actually can, there's another way to get rid of this stuff in your life if that's an issue. I'm just not one of these that thinks going around telling, you spirit of this and you spirit of that, I cast thee out in Jesus' name. I'm more like in here, I'm more like, God, these enemies are about to kill me, and I have no power against them. God, will you run them off from me? That's more of who I am. I would much rather ask God to come down and make them leave. Because that way, God gets the glory. I had a day one time that it was bad. It was a bad, bad day, worse than today. And I had spirits all over me trying to convince me to leave everything. Leave the church, leave my family, leave my job, leave my house, leave and just go somewhere else. And I spent all day long trying to shake that off of me, and I couldn't do it. And I finally remember, I called a pastor friend, told him what I was going through. He prayed for me, and I can remember literally the spirits leaving just like that. Just gone. And I was fine then. And that was here in America. I've had it happen in Kenya several times, where the devils were all over me, telling me to leave, get out of that country, get out, go, run, move, we're going to kill you, get out. And when God finally intervened, those devils, those spirits left, and they were gone. Now you go back to Psalm 18. In my distress, verse 6, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. David didn't say, I went after him and expelled him. I've got the power in Jesus' name. He just said, in my distress, I called unto the Lord. Because remember, do we know what to pray for? Do we always know what to ask for? Do we always know who to command to get out? Do we always? No, we don't know anything. But we know God who does. God is the one who knows what spirits are there, and God knows how to get rid of them a whole lot better than I do. Then he, after that, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. And 7, verses 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Verse 13, then the channels of the waves were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord. At the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from above and took me and drew me out of many waters. I didn't do it. I just knew the God who could do it for me, and I asked him to do it. Now, I mean, you may know something that I just haven't figured out yet in the Bible about calling devils by name, but I've heard people say, oh, you got to name them, you got to call them by name, you got to name them, you've got to identify them, and you can, that's the only way you can cast them out. And I just don't know that I just don't think it's a good idea to get into a conversation with a devil. I just don't. I would just rather call on God and say, God, deliver me from what these things are doing to me, because I can't take this anymore. Verse 16, he sent from above. He took me, drew me out of many waters. Verse 17, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. And that's what I believe about devils, all devils. All devils are more powerful than me in my flesh are. I'm not afraid to step on spiders and cockroaches and swat mosquitoes and anything like that. But I am afraid of devils, because I know that they can have power over me. I know it from the book of Job. I know it from other places. And I know that I should probably cry unto the Lord to ask God for his deliverance. And he'll grant it to me. Verse 18, they prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. God did this for me because he loved me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. You know what that means? That means you still believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, and you're not ever going to walk away from it. You still believe these words are right. You still believe these words are faithful, and these words are true. And if God said this, then he'll do this. You still hold on to his commandments. Verse 22, for all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful, pay attention to this. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. Now, I can tell you 100% that verse is for me. God knows my heart. He knows the situation. He knows what I've got going on in my mind. That verse is for me. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. What does the Lord's Prayer say? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's two different ways it could be said. With the merciful, thou shalt show thyself merciful, and with an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. Means if you deal fairly and squarely with people, God will deal fairly and squarely with you. He will. If he knows that you're somebody who will forgive others for what they've done to you, oh, he'll forgive you. That's easy. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. Remember what froward means. Toward means if I'm drawing you toward heaven, that means I'm saying the things to you that will lead you toward heaven. But if I say a bunch of lies and a bunch of false ideas and philosophies, then I'm not leading you toward heaven. I'm leading you froward heaven. Froward means from going to heaven. There's toward and froward. And the man who thinks froward, or the man who uses froward language, is somebody who with their words are trying to draw you away from going to heaven. So read that again. With the verse 26, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou shalt show thyself froward. If everything that you say to people leads them against going to heaven God's way, like, yeah, I believe my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, and I've got plenty of good deeds, you're froward. You're froward. Because you tell that to everybody, and everybody says, yeah, that's what I believe too. I believe the same thing. You have a froward tongue, and you're not telling the truth about how people can go to heaven. You've just talked them into the same nonsense you believe, and all y'all are going to hell. Because God will be froward against you. Verse 27, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. Now, one thing I know about days like today is that they're necessary for me. Very necessary. Because if I don't have days where I'm afflicted, and if everything goes my way all the time, then I will get to thinking very highly of myself. And you'll notice it, that I think very highly of myself. And probably most of you would say, you know what, I used to listen to Mike Hoggard, but he got so arrogant and cocky, I just can't stand to listen to him anymore. So it's okay if I have my bad days, my depressed days, my fearful days, my days where I am no good. It's all right for me to have those days, because those days are the ways that God keeps me humble where I need to be. Brought down low so that he can continue to use me. If I'm all cocky and arrogant, God won't do it. Thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. Verse 28, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will lighten my darkness. How does he light my candle? with the candle that's already lit, which is the Word of God. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. That means the army came after me, and I just busted right through them, didn't even slow down, and I jumped right over their wall. They can't stop me today. Listen, the number of ways and the number of times the devil's tried to stop what we're doing in this church, I can't count them up. The number of times that all of a sudden we found out we got our radio license pulled to broadcast in Kenya for no reason. Then we found out it was either the people who are in favor of Dr. Awar or the Catholic Church. And we were able to get it restored because what they accused us of, we didn't do. The number of times I've had my YouTube channel, the whole channel pulled because somebody said something about my videos, like they were racist and they were inciting hatred and violence and everything like that. And none of that's true. And when I appealed it to YouTube and said, show me which one of the videos promotes violence and hatred and whatever, they couldn't do it, so they had to restore my channel back. The number of times when the devils have been on me so bad that I came close to just driving off into the sunset, never to come back again. I've run through the troop before, and I've leapt over the wall that the devil used to try to stop me. It didn't work. If it's God's ministry, the devil can't touch it. If it's just my ministry, the devil can stop it. God himself will stop it. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him. This word is right, and it becomes more right for me every single day that I preach it, that I live it, that I read it, that I experience it, that I memorize it, that I meditate on it. I still find more riches. I still find more great things in it. I'm still asking God big questions, things that I want to know. And I'm waiting for those answers. But I know they're going to be in this book, without a doubt. I know they're going to be here. And I can't wait for him to show me the next thing that he's going to show me. I've tried this book. This book is tried. The word of the Lord is tried. Means it's been put on trial and it's been found perfect. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect and maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. You know what that means? How mountain goats are able to climb and stand on like a 2-inch cliff. How are they able to do that without falling down? And they have no fear whatsoever. That's how God is able to do it with us. He can put us on a place like that, and we would have absolutely no fear whatsoever that we're going to fall or that we're going to slip. And he's going to put us in high, instead of down in the pit, down in the ditch where we were, he lifts us up and sets our feet on a high place. He teacheth my hands to war. so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. This is what it's about, people. It's about fighting the war. The battle that we have to fight sometimes just to know by the end of the day that we're still saved. Just to know that God is the one who lifts us up. And again, if you find or if you think that you have no one that listens to you, I've been there. And I'm telling you, I have someone who listens to me every single time. And he's never failed me. He's never hurt me. He's always been there for me and lifted me up out of the pit that I was in and set my feet on that high rock, giving me mountain goat feet to be able to stand on a 2-inch wide ledge, so there's no way I'm going to fall off of there. That would freak me out. I would never do that. Uh-oh, did something wrong here. But God does that. He's able to do that for us. Well, guess what? I feel better. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for being part of how God has helped me today. And I hope that maybe because of what I went through, that God would do the same thing with you today and lift you up out of the pit that you're in so that you're no longer there. I hope he did. That would be a great blessing to know that the same way God comforted me, he comforted you as well. I love you. We have New Watchmen out today. Part one, I'm building up to the Abomination of Desolation, which I have no idea exactly what it's going to be. But I can tell you what's going to bring it in. And that's out today. It's on our sermonaudio.com/Bethel, or it's on our Michael Hoggard YouTube channel. Look it up. All right. God bless you. See you tomorrow night for Wednesday night Bible study. Big Bible.